Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 4 of the Impact Bodega Podcast. It is your co-host, the quintessential Puerto Rican muffin, Jorge Luis Martinez Jr. And as always, I am here with my two convicts who have joined me today on parole. First, from my Isla del Encanto, he was found guilty of running an underground illegal Alberto El Patron website. Please introduce yourself.
Yes. Once again, I'm guilty of being an El Patron fan.
So that's why you're in jail.
Yeah. What's going on? My name is Robert Rosselló, better known on the internet as Roberto's Wrestling. So I'm here today to talk about some Impact Wrestling fun in the Impact Bodega podcast. How about you, Chef?
I'm all right, as long as I'm not, you know, getting arrested, because there was a picture that popped up in Atlanta where I was in jail. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not in jail, just to let you know. I survived the zombie apocalypse. I'm here to get it popping with my homies.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about the news, because this is going to be a news-heavy show. First thing first, the hottest news on wrestling today. By the way, before we start all of this, I would like to send, you know, my condolences for me and the crew of the Impact Bodega to the father of Trevor Lee, who was, you know, the one who bankrolled Omega Wrestling, the guys from North Carolina. That's the father of Trevor Lee. So our condolences to Trevor Lee, also to the son of Jerry Lawler, who ended up, you know, losing the battle versus drugs, and also to Nikolai Volkov, one of those wrestling legends from the golden era. So let's talk about the hottest news today. The Latin American Exchange, LAX, Santana y Ortiz, representing Impact Wrestling at the Jericho Cruise versus the Young Bucks, representing Ring of Honor. What are your thoughts on this match?
First of all, I would like to say hasta la muerte y después, clack, clack. There is going to be a international waters violence and the Jericho Cruise. This is one of the matches that people have been asking for since the beginning of the year. It's finally going to happen. Unfortunately, like me and Chef have spoke earlier in the day, is not on the actual federation, so it's not in a Impact show or a Ring of Honor show, but it's going to be out in sea. So unfortunately, we will not be able to watch this unless they have a pay-per-view event from the actual cruise, which I'm hoping they do. But this is a match in the making. I mean, the Young Bucks have elevated the tag team scene for the last 6-7 years. LAX, our Santana Ortiz, have come in from independent last year, and in 1 year have put their stock, has risen. And their match against the OGs last Sunday, Slammiversary, brought them up another step higher. And this match is going to be insane. And once again, I'm hoping somebody is there doing this thing live on Facebook or something, because I need to watch this. I need to watch this fight, man. Or at least I'm going to petition to the Young Boys of LAX to let me be the mascot. So I get in for free at the cruise, and I'll carry the flag. So, Chef, what do you think, man? Because this is insane right here, bro. This is insane.
Yeah, I mean, to keep it a buck with you, like, I am definitely not a fan of the Young Bucks. I respect what they've done because, let's face it, the tag team division has been ass for a hot minute, and they fucking, you know, they've been the staple of the tag team division. I don't give a fuck if you hate ROH, you love ROH. Anyone who knows the name Young Bucks, you know who they are. I have a name for them. I'm not going to call it because it's fucked up. But I mean, look, they're part of the Bullet Club. The Bullet Club is one of the is to me right now. I knew he was gonna do that shit. The Bullet Club is the most over thing in wrestling. It's more over than that whack ass, stupid ass, broken bullshit has ever been. Mm. So, the Bullet Club with that logo attached to the Young Bucks versus our boys, the LAX, Santana and Ortiz. This is a huge moment. Like, and when we were talking earlier, I said this is a bigger moment for Santana and Ortiz than it is the Young Bucks. Young Bucks mm-hmm. are already household names all over the world, where Santana and Ortiz are finally coming up. You know, they're shining. People do know who they are. But to get in this match, this is a dream match for fans. There is no loser. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care who takes the L, who wins. For us fans, there is no loser. We're watching what we wish we could have watched. And I'm sure this shit will be on the internet and YouTube at some point. So, you know, just give it a second. Let's see how it plays out. But all I'm going to say, and I'm going to keep it a buck with you, is these Young Bucks, I have an issue with their name. Because these dudes are not 18 years old. It's kind of like when you got Lil Wayne or Lil Bow Wow, and they're like 40 years old and they still got little. Like, you're not Young Bucks no more. Like, you're already old Bucks. You know what I mean? With my young gunners out here, they from the concrete jungle. You ain't ever fought no animals like these. These dudes is hungry. And when your dogs is hungry, it's time to go to war. And my dude's going to bring a war to you guys that you've never seen before. Facts.
And like Ortiz said, he's going to throw somebody off the boat. He's going to throw somebody off the boat.
And he had my fault, Robert, but he had his chancleta on his hand and all that.
Yeah. I got flashbacks of grandma.
Abuela, don't do it, abuela, chew. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on the thing that you mentioned that has sold out, actually was sold out all then. But when you mentioned that about the scalpers, regardless if the scalpers bought the tickets or not, that means the tickets were bought, which means the show is sold out, which means it doesn't matter who's there. The show is officially sold out. Scalpers bought it because they want to sell the tickets at a higher price. That's what the scalpers do. But the show is sold out. So regardless who's there, the show is sold out. Now, the match between the Young Bucks and Ibushi and Bandido, Phoenix, and Mysterio, I do not know who Bandido is, so I really can't speak on him. I've never seen him. But I know Mysterio and Phoenix are two of the high flyers in the business. I don't know how good Mysterious is going to be, you know, from all the knee issues that he had. But I know Phoenix is definitely going to be flying. And we already know the Young Bucks, you know, they're going to be ready. And Ibushi, you know, is also ready for this match. And to throw a little shade at Chef there, that the Young Bucks are not considered young. If you think about it, they're actually 31 and 29 years old. So I still consider them Young Bucks. Once they hit the 40s, then, you know, they could call them the Old Bucks. But for now, they're still Bullet Club for life.
This guy finds a way to plug that Bullet Club shit all the time.
So, it's not me. It's the button that I press. I just, you know, Bullet Club for life, bro. I just toss it myself. It's an app. It's a Bullet Club app.
My fault. What was I thinking? Obviously, I'm not going to go for the Young Bucks. It's never going to happen.
Never.
There's no chance. Like, I don't give a shit who they're going against. I'm always going to go for the other people. All I'm going to say is Phoenix is absolutely amazing. You know, like, to me, he's one of the best all-around wrestlers I've seen in a long time. Like, this guy's just fucking official. As for Rey Mysterio, I seen Rey Mysterio in ICW, there goes my plug, versus Kenny Williams. And Rey Mysterio looked like vintage Rey Mysterio versus a 20-something-year-old kid that Rey Mysterio took it to him. Great match. So Rey Mysterio still got some treads on the tire. And to be honest with you, if Rey Mysterio's in a match, once again, I sound like a cliche homer, but how do you have a loser or a winner when you're going to be able to watch Rey Mysterio? I mean, I don't care how old this guy is. Let's enjoy him while we have him, because his run is eventually going to come to an end and we lose one of the greats that we grew up watching. You know, like, I always make fun and I always say, damn, one of the greatest things I've ever seen was when he got launched into the sound truck.
Torpedo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in wrestling. But, yes. I mean, I've seen him defy odds and, you know, for his size, be a heavyweight champ in a company I am not going to plug.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this guy just globally dominate. And to be honest with you, he's done it with us. Never heard nothing bad about him. So I'm always going to pick Rey Mysterio's team. Phoenix is the shit. Young Bucks, Old Bucks, whatever you want to be called. I'm not picking you. So let's go to my Latinos, baby.
Another piece of information we need to talk about today. Madison Rayne. She's going to be at the Mae Young Classic tournament after she was pushed to the top at Impact Wrestling and also on Ring of Honor just recently, just last week. What are your thoughts on this? And take it easy. don't be that rough with her. What are your thoughts? Go first, Jorge.
No, I'll be nice. You know, Madison Rayne has paid her dues. You know, I'll say that she at one time, you know, she's been knockout champion. She's done what she has to do in the business. She's paid her dues. I think she's like the only wrestler, female or male, that I ever seen get two title shots in two different companies in back-to-back nights on pay-per-view shows. I don't think I've ever seen that, and I don't think we're ever going to see that again. What I have a problem with this farce of a Mae Young Classic, because I call it a farce. All WWE is doing is trying to push this woman's evolution that's been now for the last 10, 15 years and shine and shimmer, rise. Impact has done it since 2013, I want to say, 2007, I'm sorry. All right, so 2007. So we've seen the revolution. But, you know, this Mae Young Classic thing, I see as a farce. It's like the second year around, it's like they ran out of females to pick. And now they're just kind of picking females here and there, nilly willy. You have a 32-year-old in Madison Rayne, and then they went and picked up a 19-year-old and some other female who's still green to be in a tournament. I mean, it makes no sense to me. I'm happy for her because at least she gets to get her WWE moment, you know, and that could probably, you know, finish off her career as saying, oh, I was in the WWE for a period of time, but we all know that if they are not signed in a contract with WWE, they are not going to win the tournament. So if they are just there for one out and they haven't signed, they're not going to pass the first, maybe second round if. But other than that, I don't see anything special about the Mayo Classic. I don't see anything special about the Evolution thing in October, except that the females finally get to show their stuff off in an all-female show. But other than that, I'm not excited about Madison Rayne at all. Never been, but I'm happy for her that she gets to do that. So at least I keep it clean this time around. Chef, what do you think, brother?
You know what? I was prepared to be like, without, but you did really good. Like I'm proud of you, bro. Like I was like, wow, I'm definitely gonna have to say this shit because he's gonna go crazy. But you did really nice because now I feel like the asshole because I'm gonna be negative for sure. I'm gonna
Oh,
be
thank you
negative.
so much.
All right. So yeah, granted, absolutely everything you said is 100% truth, right? Madison Rayne paid her dues, blah 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 blah. But here's a chick that got a match in ROH, lost, for some reason, got a match and Impact, which, okay, fine, she lost, but she's going to be an All In and also in the Mae Young Classic. So why did Impact invest in her when they could have gave any, just throw any random other person that we would have been like, why the fuck is she in the fucking title match? Because that's pretty much what they did with Madison Rayne. What I'm going to say, though, is I was talking with somebody and I was like, damn, everybody keeps saying that Impact and Shine and Shimmer, whatever else female wrestling companies said that they started that. And I said, well, I said, that's fine because they showcase them better. But if you want to look when a woman's revolution kind of started, wouldn't you say that Trish, Lita, Molly Holly, Beth Phoenix, like, wouldn't you say those girls kind of started that woman's revolution because those girls were serious. Am I right or wrong?
You could be right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah.
but that thing in main event Raw multiple times. I think the Trish and Lita main evented Raw once, but Gail Kim and Awesome Kong at the beginning they main event multiple times.
No. I completely agree with you. That's what I'm saying. But that's what I was trying to say. Like, don't you think that the stepping stones for the women when it started off was literally Lita, Trish, Molly Holly, whoever else, the Beth Phoenixes,
Well,
shit,
actually,
there was a few other.
if you want to take it back, I mean, you have to say Fabulous Moolah, Rockin'
Whoa, whoa,
Robin.
whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, 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 bro! Like, I'm not going that far back. Like, when I
Mean,
started watching wrestling, I didn't even.
you can't forget about Wendi Richter, but come on, bro. If you're gonna go back and say Revolution, Randy Richter, the
I don't
Fabulous
even know who
Moolah, dude, WrestleMania 1. Madison Square
you. Dude, I don't
Garden,
remember.
Wendi Richter against Fabulous Moolah with Cyndi Lauper bringing out Wendi Richter.
Dude, what's funny? Like, I don't like Cyndi Lauper. Like, I don't like Cyndi.
The
I dude, that's the
Goonies,
I was just gonna say the only time I ever liked her is when you're looking at fucking when what's her name does the truffle shuffle.
yeah,
Oh my
Chunks.
God. There you go. So Chunk does the fucking truffle shuffle, comes into the house. Brad, he's sitting there trying to be like the workout brother, and he's watching that
Yes.
one video. Cyndi Lauper is the only
Yes.
time was the only time I actually like fucking Cyndi Lauper. But truth be told,
Girls
I
just want to have time. Girls just want to have fun.
yeah, that's fine. That's all fine and gravy. But to be honest with you, like, I like the Mae Young Classic because it showcases them. I wish I would have knew about it last year because it was in Orlando and I would have fucking loved to have seen Kay Lee Ray and Viper and all these other girls, and I was gonna make that plug.
Isn't it this
But
year again in Orlando again this year? Full sales?
I don't even know, but there's nobody
Oh.
I really care for that's on that roster. Like, if Kaylee Ray would have been there, I would have been there. You know what I mean? Like, if she would have been there, I would have been the first person online like 4 hours just so I could see her. But to be honest with you, I dig it because it showcases the ladies. I don't think it's all that. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's all right. Madison Rain, I thought she was almost 40. She looks old to me. I didn't know that she was that young.
Yeah, she's 32.
Yeah, no, that's even because she still got a lot of years under her belt.
Oh, yeah, but yes.
You know what I mean? But, like, my thing is, how could Impact invest in her if she's jumping all over the place to give her a prime shot at your second biggest pay-per-view? That was my beef with it. You know what I mean? And if she does not get signed there, my thing is, what loyalty does she show you if she's going to go play over there instead of playing in your yard? Because she's more invested into playing with them than being loyal to you. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying she's unloyal. I'm just saying, obviously, it's a huge opportunity, no question. But if you already have a foundation here, I mean, she's one of the fucking beautiful people. She already has a niche here. Over there, she's just going to be some fucking random Impact chick that fans don't give a shit about. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. You know what? Congratulations. Do whatever you want to do. I guess I'm done with it.
Well, at least you were a little more nicer than I would have been, but yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we spoke about this before, you know, and I said this before, 90% of all talent that gets in now, 90% at least one time in your career wants to do a WWE run. Either whether it be just one match, a squash match, or whatever it is. And everybody who's being born after WCW died from the last 17 years, going into their 20s, all they know is WWE.
Yeah, I mean,
so and of course, that's what they want to go to.
Listen, so, and I tell people all the time that people like myself should never say, if this is their dream, who the fuck are we to complain about somebody trying to live their dream?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But like, as a fan of a company, I consider myself a fan of wrestling. I don't consider myself a fan of any company except for, you know, my European company I love to death, which I won't plug. But
thank God.
You know, I love wrestling. I do. And, you know, it just, when you see, and it's like you say, if you're trying to go off your bucket list, shouldn't you be trying to sign somewhere to actually make a difference instead of going in and being crushed?
Like some random show up at a random tournament, take a pin. That's living your dream.
Hey man,
yeah, you know what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say. How is that living your dream, unless you're actually going there and putting in work?
Hey man, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, go make that money.
I'd rather get squashed out WWE anytime, bro. Give me some money. I got seen on TV. It didn't squash me, but hey. I made it.
So let's turn this into a positive. So Jorge, you were there on Slammiversary, right? On pay-per-view.
Hey.
A lot of people saw you on pay-per-view. They were very happy to see you. They were marking out.
I was happy too.
What would be the best description about that show and the consequent and the you know the TV shows that happen after that? Go out and do like a little roundup of the little things that you enjoy by being actually there and the stuff that it is gonna be happening on TV, but without you know any spoilers or anything.
Never get
like
spoilers.
That.
So, hashtag no spoilers.
So you have the floor. Go ahead, Jorge.
Man, Slammiversary was everything that I imagined and more. It was amazing show. I remember showing you pictures and sending you guys videos. I mean, the line was down a block when it came to the actual pay-per-view. That thing was live. The complex, the Rebel Club is gorgeous. The lighting was gorgeous. And, you know, I have not seen Slammiversary on TV yet, but being there live, I mean, it was an experience and a half. I got to meet a lot of people that we follow each other on Twitter. I got to take pictures, you know, so that was one amazing experience, actually meeting people that you actually talked to for the last year or two on Twitter and actually meet them face-to-face and take pictures. That was an amazing experience. The tapings, they just kept going. on Monday and Tuesday. I love the format how they have now, which they did last month in Windsor, Ontario, in Canada, where they have, you know, four tapings, four shows a month long. And it was just straightforward. I mean, they still have the storylines going with LAX and the OG. So we're going to see more crazy stuff about them there. Eli Drake, now that we know that he's signed, and I know Chef is happy about that, we'll see a continuation of the feud with Grado and Hendry, two more of Chess peoples there that he's happy about. You know, Su Young, beautiful entry that she always has with her scary entrance. Rebel was back, you know, so I know Chef is happy about that too. He got to see his two scoop bounce from her. So, but all in all, man, if anybody has never done it and they're thinking about doing it for the August tapings or September or even Bound for Glory, this is an experience that you need to do, because they will go out all out and introduce you to the wrestlers. You get to meet them after the show, take pictures, you know, sign autographs. They get to talk to you. And that alone is an experience in itself. I mean, I got to meet a lot of people, even though the first night of the anniversary, my phone died and I couldn't take a picture with Chef's number one homeboy, Joe Hendry, there. So I was mad about that one. But other than that, man, it was a wonderful experience and I loved every minute of it. I'll be there again in August. I already put a post on Twitter that if anybody sees me, and we follow each other on Twitter, to please come up, get my attention so I could come introduce myself. And we could take pictures together and put it on the Impact Podcast website so everybody can see who we're meeting and who all the fans are. Because without the fans, there will be no show. And the Slammiversary pay-per-view and the tapings, you are going to hear the fans, the excitement, you know, it's real excitement. It's not no taped fans or they put the audio on. No, the fans are really excited for the product and they are fired up for what's going to happen for the next 4 weeks. And I'm excited for it too, man. I'm happy for it. I'm happy that they hit a home run for Slammiversary and now it's just baby step every week just to keep putting that good product up and just keep doing it because Bound for Glory is going to be crazy. I'm going to be there. I'm hoping Chef gets there because that's his backyard there in New York. And maybe Robert from Puerto Rico will take a flight over and come over too. We could do a whole three-man show right from Bound for Glory at City Hall.
Yeah, I truly wish. If my lawsuit would drop, I could yeah, I could you know, find the money to fly to New York. But as long as I have that, oof, that's a hot pill to swallow.
Listen, we all know the lawsuit is for that fucking El Patron website. That's what we know the lawsuit for.
Exactly. That's why you were guilty of and doing time house arrest right now.
So, since we mentioned Bound for Glory, so far you are gonna be there, Chef, right? Not sure.
It depends on if my homeboy's girl can slide me that, you know, and I'll plug you JetBlue ticket because she works at JetBlue and she's trying to work some magic for me. So as long as she comes through, I'm all up in there.
And Jorge, you're going to be there 110%, right?
110%. It's only less than 6 hour drive. My birthday, as a matter of fact, is that Saturday, which they're having the first night, like another introduction to the wrestlers, another party like it did the last time. So, and then the Sunday the pay-per-view. So if I don't make it on Saturday, I'll be there for the Sunday for the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And I already, and as a matter of fact, before we left, the last day before we left from the tapings, we had got the email for one of the gentlemen who worked for Impact. And he had mentioned if we had any ideas to spruce up the VIP experience. So me thinking today, and then when I saw that LAX fighting the Young Bucks there on the cruise, I emailed them today and I thought and I said, yo, what about a exclusive LAX 5150 Santana and Ortiz doing a tour of New York for the VIPers. I mean, who else than two New York boys that were raised in New York to give us a tour of New York?
Yeah.
Well, you guys, listen, you got to take it easy because where these dudes are from,
I'm just saying, I know that. I thought about that too afterwards, but I was like, you know something, baby? They kind of overlooked that part.
All right, yeah, because, I mean, if you want to show them the other part of the city, yeah, that's cool. You don't want to see Santana and Ortiz part of the city. Like, these, you're going to have some good people with their hands, you know, and their bodies tucked in the fetus position on the bus, like, yo, run the light. Yo, run the light.
Hey. All I know is this. I've been to New York twice in my life. I still to this day have never rode the subway. And that's like one wish that I have in October is to actually ride the subway at least once.
Okay, just if you need a specific route that I can give you a safe route, just let me know because I'll keep you out of really. Listen, do not go to 21st Street and Queensbridge. Do not go to Harlem. Do not go to the South Bronx. You better keep your ass out of Brooklyn. You might want to stay around Myrtle Lab because, you know, you got a lot of stores out there. Just listen, don't go to Southside Jamaica, Queens. I got you, bro. Wherever you don't want to go, I know where not to get you.
Just one question. Has anybody ever seen 1978 The Warriors?
Oh, yo, dude, are you kidding me right now?
I want to go in that same route to The Warriors to Coney Island. I want to visit everything the Warriors way, the baseball furies.
Okay, so
with a baseball bat and face paint on.
Okay, so your ass is going to have to start in the Bronx.
Hey, man. Like I said, that's what I want to do. Subway, and who else would do it then with LAX, Santana, and Ortiz being your bodyguards in the subway? Come on, man. That would be a perfect tour right there.
You know what? Now that you say it like that, whoever fans get beat up, man, it's an experience. So don't get upset. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds awesome as shit. If you get an email, I'll fucking walk to New York City to take that fucking trip. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds
fun. But like you said, it's a VIP and you just got your money's worth in the beating that you're going to take.
You know, just leave your credit cards and everything in the hotel. You know what I mean? So you don't get robbed.
For sure. You know that already. Put my money inside my socks. I watched The Warriors. I know. That was my favorite film. Come back to play Warriors.
Yo, dude, you got to click the bottles. You got to click the bottles.
Click Warriors, come out and play. Yay. Click. That's a classic movie, man. Can you dig it? Come on, man. Robert, go ahead, Robert. We kind of lost track here, man.
Yeah.
My bad.
We're about to end. Don't worry about it.
Take control, brother. Take control.
Quick thoughts on last week's show of Impact Wrestling. The show obviously was the Fallout show from Slammiversary. The show featured the rematch between Brian Cage and Matt Sydal. We also saw Taishi Shimori versus the Canadian Destroyer Petey Williams. We saw Tessa Blanchard versus Rebel and Johnny Impact versus Trevor Lee. What are your thoughts on the show? Quick thoughts on it. Good, bad, ugly.
Another great show. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to see it on TV. I saw it in person, so I don't know how it came out on TV. But I know the big moment was Impact, Johnny Impact being back on the show. He got a humongous ovation from the crowd. I mean, the crowd was eating him alive. How he came out on TV, I don't know. So you guys got to let me know. But I know with him being back, the excitement is there because people love him. And the match with Brian Cage and Sydal, not the same as the one on pay-per-view, but it still did its job, you know. And unfortunately, I feel sorry for Trevor Lee because he's kind of get lost in between, and he was the stepping stone for Impact on that match. But, you know, they did a good job setting him Impact back up again and not fighting some scrub or nothing like that. So, But, you know, the show looked good from what I saw. Next week's show is going to be even more amazing. The double tag team between OVE and Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. All I'll say is this. That's another crazy high-flying match. They had a spot in the first 2 minutes when the brothers went through the ropes and hit Phoenix and Pentagon outside to the railing. Let's just say that I was standing up and I saw it coming. And I put my feet to hold the railing. And when those guys came up and hit that railing, the whole four row got pushed into the chair and we got moved like half a foot back.
Holy shit.
From the momentum. And one dude fell. And everybody's going like, oh, I'm suing, dude. Like, I've never experienced a push like that. We never saw it coming. We were holding it. And we got pushed back like half a feet back. And I'm hoping they show that from the angle so you can see us standing up and then falling over to the chairs and the chairs getting pushed back. And we're going crazy in excitement. Like, oh my God, we just became part of the show. They just landed on my lap type of thing. It was amazing. And I'm looking forward to that match this Thursday coming up. So yeah, I'm happy about the direction that they're going with and they're taking it week by week.
How about you, Jeff?
I thought it was all right. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was there. There was some shit I liked, some shit I didn't. I'm not going to talk too long on it. What I will say, though, is, and I had to make this plug for us because we're going to have an NWO first show of it. We're going to put it on our little network thing. And, you know, we'll have some side people, you know, join in. I'm not going to give no names until it's officially on there. We got a few things that we're working on. So, stick with us. We got a lot of big things planned for you guys. We love the support. And Robert, you got it, brother.
Yeah, so I guess this is it for this episode of the Impact Bodega. So make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram. There's going to be links in the description of this video. So that's it for the Impact Bodega podcast. Goodbye and thanks for listening to